This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's also you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome to Stories from the Village of Nothing Much. Like easy listening, but for fiction. I'm Catherine Nicolai. I write and read all the stories you'll hear on the Village of Nothing Much. Audio engineering and sound design is by Bob Wittersheim. Let's have a little Mr. Rogers moment, shall we? Even if you aren't changing your shoes or slipping into your cardigan, we can make a mental shift into somewhere safe and loving. I don't think that just because we've grown up, we've stopped needing those spaces. In fact, we might need them more than ever before. So I created the Village of Nothing Much. It's a little land of make-believe, a place to step into and let our tired minds rest and recharge, our sometimes bruised hearts be handled with healing gentleness. And I'm really glad you're here. You belong. Now, just because it's pretty much always a good idea, let's take a deep breath in through the nose and sigh from your mouth. Let's do that one more time. Breathe in and let it go. Good. Our stories today walk through memories of people and places that shape us as we grow, and the small acts that fill our cup, literally and metaphorically. We'll start in the tea shop, remembering the moment of finding your people in adolescence. We'll drink a cup of matcha and say hello to a kitty with a crooked tail. Then we'll open the jewelry box and remember when its green velvet lining was first laid in. We'll stop for a muffin from the corner store and watch the geese splashing in the pond in the park. Finally, we'll wander over to the flower section with our grocery list in hand in hyacinths and share their sweetness with a stranger. The tea shop. I heard it as I was walking past the high school. I was on my way to the tea shop. I'd been rushing down the sidewalk with my hands jammed into my pockets and my shoulders hunched up against the end of the winter chill. It was muffled, but instantly recognizable. The morning bell, calling students to their classrooms for the start of day. I actually stopped in my tracks for a moment and turned to look at the school. An old red brick building with wide stone steps and a few stragglers rushing up them. From the front door hung a hand-printed sign for the spring musical. I smiled at it. It was the same one I'd been in my freshman year. I thought suddenly of the dark of the auditorium, the tinny sound of the rehearsal piano, of painting flats after school, and the giddy excitement of opening night. Beyond all of that, I remembered the feeling of being a part of something I was proud of. I'd stepped into auditions a bit awkward and unsure, and taken my bow on closing night with a pack of new friends and a confidence in myself that helped move me through the next 4 years. That moment in adolescence, when you find the people you can be yourself with, it's a moment you never forget. I thought I might make time to see the musical when it opened in a few weeks and see if I still knew all the words. The act of remembering had woken me up. My shoulders dropped down from my ears and I stopped rushing. There was still a chill in the air, but it wasn't winter's end, it was spring's beginning. I made my way down the block and around the corner and into the tea shop. It was a tiny place with a few round tables and a window seat full of cushions. There were spider plants in macrame slings and prisms hanging from invisible thread, throwing rainbows against the wall. Along the windowsills were stacks of paperback books and a row of candles in different colors. I'd noticed every time I was in that a different candle was lit. Yesterday it was the pink one, and today it was violet. I suspected that there was a bit of magic mixed into the tea they brewed, and that was just fine by me. Behind the small bar, where they measured and steeped, were shelves of canisters with handwritten labels and a dozen teapots. They had all sorts of tea, herbal blends that smelled like a field of flowers, or powerful medicine, or both. Black tea grown in Sri Lanka, and rooibos from the Western Cape of South Africa. They had flowering teas, tight bundles of leaves wrapped around a chrysanthemum or amaranth blossom that were brewed in clear glass pots so you could watch them coming back to life. This morning I asked for matcha, and the woman behind the bar seemed to consider it for a moment before agreeing it was the right choice. She took down a ceramic tea bowl with blue speckled glaze and a wooden whisk from a shelf. She poured a bit of steaming water into the bowl and let the whisk rest in it while she reached for the canister of green tea powder. It was the bright green of spring grass, and as she unscrewed the top, I caught a whiff of that same scent, and I thought of the first time you smell freshly cut grass in the spring. It's something you know so well, but have gone so long without, and then you're suddenly reunited with it, like finding a favorite t-shirt you thought you'd lost, but had just been put away in the wrong drawer. I hoped we might only be a few weeks away from the first sighting of spring grass. I turned back to watch the tea making. The water was tipped from the tea bowl, its job of warming now done, and matcha was carefully sifted in. My tea maker measured out hot water into the green powder and began to whisk, first in a slow zigzag, and then with faster strokes, which formed an emerald foam on top of the tea. When she finished, she set aside her whisk and passed the bowl right into my hands. I felt the warmth through the ceramic and thought how basic this act was to being human. How many people over millennia had recognized the goodness of a hot drink on a chill morning, of preparing it with a bit of care and handing it over to help lift someone up? These small elevating acts that are done all over the world for generations, when we partake in them, well, at least to me, it feels like a kind of communion. Like I was aligning myself with a strand of the greater universe. I smiled down into my bowl, thinking that it was no wonder I'd been a theater kid. Even drinking tea was, in my eyes, a cosmic undertaking. I drank. The first sip was rich and pushed all other thought from my head. I just tasted the green, earthy flavor of the tea and felt the warmth moving through me as I swallowed. With the second sip, I could taste more complex flavors. It was savory, like a toasted seed, and just a little bitter, though I noticed that it left a lingering sweetness in my mouth that made me immediately tip the bowl to my lips for another drink. That last sip came with a feeling of energy, a readiness for the rest of my day. I set the bowl down with a sigh and got a nod from the tea witch, who could see that the matcha magic had clearly worked. I paid my dollars and zipped my coat back up to my nose and pushed the door open to the street. An orange and white spotted cat with a slightly crooked tail slipped through my ankles and into the warmth of the shop. I heard him being welcomed back as I closed the door behind me. My bowl of tea had turned me around. The cool air felt fresh on my face, and I put the spring in my step to good use. I had a new day laid out in front of me. I began to walk.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
The jewelry box. On my dresser, beside the stack of books that are waiting to be read, and the framed photo of my sweetheart and me on one of our first dates, there's a jewelry box. It's made of dark walnut and lined with green velvet that must have been a bright emerald when it was first fitted into place by my grandfather's hands, but has faded over the years into the soft green of reindeer moss. He crafted it many years ago for my grandmother, out in the workshop in his garage. It was a rare creation for him. He was mostly a fixer, a mender who could step in when the furnace was on the fritz or when the attic stairs were stuck. He'd stand with hands on hips and just look at the problem for a while, picturing where the trouble was and how to sort it out. Then he'd take a screwdriver from his shirt pocket and go to work. But for this box, he'd been starting from scratch. Not mending, but creating. He'd sketched out the shape with a flat carpenter's pencil on the pages of a steno notebook in the garage and gone looking for the right piece of wood. When he found it, he'd measured and cut and fitted the box together, the edges of the wood dovetailing like puzzle pieces. Then he'd divided the interior with thin slats and lined it all with green velvet. He'd let me watch as he'd created slots for Grandma's rings, hooks to secure her necklaces, and a soft raised mound to loop her bracelets around. The top tray lifted out to reveal an open space underneath, inlaid with more velvet. The box was meant to be a surprise for her, and he'd asked me if I could keep a secret before he let me into the workshop. I'd kept my word and got to be there on her birthday as she'd unwrapped it. I remember how quiet the room was as she ran her soft, creased hands over the smooth edges that he'd spent ages carefully sanding and shaping. She lifted the lid and looked down at the velvet and then up at Grandpa with such a bright, happy smile on her face that we all beamed back at her. She was a laugher, not a crier. And she laughed now, clapping her hands like a little girl and leaning over to plant a kiss on Grandpa's cheek. The jewelry box had sat on her vanity table for the rest of her life, next to tubes of her lipstick and tiny, precious bottles of perfume. I remember sitting on the edge of her bed, my bare feet swinging as I watched her make herself up for a Saturday night out with Grandpa. She picked out her favorite necklace and lifted the tray out to peruse her brooches. I nosily looked over her shoulder as she did and saw a few yellowed envelopes addressed to her in Grandpa's hand. She saw me looking and winked at me in the mirror. She still had their love letters. When the box came to me, I gratefully found I could still smell a bit of her perfume whenever I lifted the lid. Now it held my rings, my bracelets and necklaces. In the compartment underneath were my own love letters, the stubs of concert tickets, and one of Grandma's brooches. It was fragile, with a thin pin at its back that had been mended more than once. On its face was a collection of bright red stones circled with gold in the shape of a ladybug. Her wings were dotted with glossy black jewels. I suspected none of them were real gems. They were probably polished glass, what they used to call paste. But they were precious to me. I was careful with what Grandma had passed on to me, but I wasn't afraid to wear her brooch. I had her china, too, and I used it nearly every day. Once when we'd been drying dishes in her kitchen and a slippery plate had slid out of my hands to crash into a million pieces on the black and white tiles of her floor, I'd turned a teary face up to her, and she caught my chin in her hands and kissed the tip of my nose, saying, "Baby, it's a thing, not a person." It had made me feel so unashamed and immediately realigned with what actually mattered. To this day, when something breaks, I stop and ask myself, is it a thing or a person? And like her, I can usually laugh instead of cry. I'd pinned her ladybug onto the lapel of my jacket today as I got ready to go out of the door, just feeling the need to have her around me. When I stepped out of my apartment and into the narrow alleys of the oldest part of downtown, I stopped to look up at the way the spring sunlight shone on the tops of the buildings. Autumn sun is brassy, in the best possible way, but spring sunlight is bright gold, and I was happy to need my sunglasses as I walked. At the corner shop, I stopped to buy a newspaper and a lemon muffin dotted with poppy seeds to tuck into my bag for later. The man who ran the shop had been sweeping the front step when I came in, and his grandson stood proudly behind the counter, his chin just clearing the stacks of newspapers. He added up my purchases and with a serious face told me how much it would be. His grandfather smiled down at his broom as he swept. I handed over the money and waited while the change was counted back. I thanked the little boy and resisted the urge to wink or make a joke. I remembered how important it was when you were young and trying to seem grown up that you were taken seriously. We shouldn't forget what being young feels like, even when we are young no longer. On the street again, with Grandma's ladybug on my shoulder and the golden spring light making me squint, I headed for the park. The geese would be back, honking their news and splashing the cold lake water around their long black necks. I would find a bench, take my muffin from my bag, open my paper, and look for things to laugh about.
LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com. One place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hyacinths. I'd been pushing my cart through the aisles of the grocery store, staring up at boxes of cereal and containers of oats, when I started to feel pulled toward the bright, window-filled front of the shop. It was the scent that was drawing me. There just isn't one like it. The smell of hyacinths at the end of winter. I forgot whatever it was I'd been looking for and pushed my list back into my pocket. There were tables full of flowers. They lined the windowsill and stood in tiers on the display. And they smelled so incredibly sweet and new and undeniably of spring. I found an out-of-the-way spot to park my cart and stepped away from it to get closer to the flowers. Some were still tightly budded. You couldn't yet pick out their color, and others were blooming in pastel pinks and yellows and bright bonny blues. All grew on sturdy stems, as thick around as my thumb, in terracotta pots that were wrapped in pretty foil and some packaged with shiny ribbons. I picked up one of the yellow blooming plants and stood with it in my hands as I looked out through the windows. There was a towering mound of snow that had been plowed into the back corner of the parking lot. And I thought about how those giant piles often stay much longer than all the snow that lay on lawns and tree branches. How lasting they were, how stubborn they felt when on some sunny day in May, you'd spot one still hanging on as you drove past with your windows rolled down. How you might even wag a finger at the snow and say, "Let go." I dipped my face down into the flowers and breathed deeply. It was like a vitamin I had been dangerously deficient in, suddenly flooding into my cells. I breathed again. It smelled like hope. I even liked the sound of the word and said it slowly to myself. Hyacinth. I set down the pot and strolled around the table, looking at them all. Some were small, just a single stalk, and others had a few plants tucked in together in a medium-sized pot. Then there was a huge bowl with a dozen hyacinths or more planted in a snug circle, and I imagined them sitting in the corner of a big, friendly kitchen table, perfuming a whole house for weeks. Finally, I picked out a pot with two plants whose buds were still closed. It would be a surprise that I would look forward to each day. I'd set them in a sunny spot and wait to see what shade they would show. Then I picked out another with blossoms that were already a deep purple. They looked so perfect, they reminded me of sugar flowers crafted to decorate a cake. This one would be a gift, though I wasn't sure yet who they'd be given to. I settled them down into my basket and remembered I was supposed to be grocery shopping. I took the list back out of my pocket and saw that there were just a few things left to get. I'd had a craving for sweet potatoes, roasted with paprika and topped with a runny, garlicky tahini sauce, so I swerved through the produce section, plucking a few garnet yams from the bins, taking a handful of papery garlic bulbs from a basket, and tossing in some green onions and butter lettuce, just because they look beautiful. On a shelf, I found a jar of tahini, and beside it, one of harissa that I just couldn't resist. One of these days, there would be a shelf-buckling reckoning in the overflowing condiment section of my pantry, but hopefully it would not be today. At the register, I treated myself to a couple peppermint lip balms. As soon, I'd be switching to my spring coat, and I firmly believe that there needs to be lip balm in the pocket of every coat I own. I also often left a package of tissues and a few dollar bills in my coats when I put them away for the season. And it was a little time capsule for the me of a few months from now, a care package to open up and smile at. The clerk helped me to wrap my flower pots in brown paper so that they wouldn't spill dirt on the way home. And soon I was pushing my cart out through the front doors. I stopped and scanned the lot in front of me. There was a man loading a couple of bags into the back of his car. He turned to see where the cart return was and saw it a few rows down and on the other side. He began to push the cart, leaving the hatchback open behind him, and I saw a tiny window of possibility. I hustled my cart as unobtrusively as I could, even hopping up onto the bar at the base and riding it like I had when I was a kid. Then I came to a quick halt, plunged my hand down into the sacks, and pulled out the purple hyacinth in its wrapping. I wedged it between two bulky bags in the stranger's car and rolled away as quickly as I could. He was still wrestling his cart into the rack when I peeked over my shoulder, and as he walked back to his car, he took his keys from his pocket and pushed a button to close the trunk. he hadn't spotted me. I smiled with my head down as I rolled toward my own car, thinking of him in 20 minutes or so, standing in his driveway, loading the bags into his arms and finding the flower. Maybe even checking his receipt to see if he had mistakenly bought it and not realized it at the time, and eventually giving up on the mystery and just enjoying the breath of spring. I unloaded my own bags, then buckled the flowers into the passenger seat beside me. The sun was coming out from between patchy, low clouds, and I cracked the windows just a bit and found a station on the radio to listen to. As I sat, waiting to pull out onto the street, I noticed the hill of snow in the corner of the lot again, graying and icy. And rather than admonish it for holding on, I smiled and rested a hand on the pot of flowers beside me. Spring would come. No winter lasts forever. Thank you for spending some time with me today in the village of Nothing Much. I hope for you this week that you'll be handed a warm cup of something delicious made with care, that you'll feel the love of an ancestor or friend resting on your shoulder as you walk through the world, and that you'll give or receive a gift of hope and sweetness.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.